This summer, we've talked about anger and the dangers of anger. We've talked about righteousness and wickedness. We've talked about community and friendship, about telling the truth, about the value of wisdom, how it's more precious and more valuable than anything we could acquire. And for this last week, we're going to kind of pivot toward the New Testament. We're going to look at what the New Testament has to say about wisdom, that after the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, what does wise living look like in the age of Jesus, in the time of Jesus? What does it look like in Greater Lafayette in 2022, in a new school year, a new work year, a new fiscal year, whatever's coming up? What does it look like to live as wise people in this world today? So let's pray as we begin. Lord, help us as we look in the New Testament today about wisdom. Open our eyes to what you have for us. May your word fall on soft hearts ready to hear from you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we go to James, I think it would be wrong if we finished our series without looking at Proverbs 8. And so we're going to start by looking at Proverbs 8, just the first part, if you want to pull that up. Oh, also, if you noticed when you walked in, there was a really cool QR code there. You can scan that. You can get up now and do it. I won't be offended. You can scan that, and it's going to take you to a digital bulletin, which will have all these passages and all these other things on there for you. If you don't like writing it down, it'll be right there. So you can go back and scan it and grab that if you want. So Proverbs 8 is a wonderful, beautiful chapter. It's about the call of wisdom, and wisdom is presented and personified as a woman who presents herself as available to the world. Wisdom is available to all. And we've said that Christ is our wisdom, of course, we said that last week, but the Bible has no problems going back and forth using both male and female imagery to talk about wisdom. And so I'm going to read the first 11 verses, Proverbs 8, 1 through 11. You can listen or follow along. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud, "To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are upright. To those who have found knowledge, choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her." So wisdom is personified as a woman. You can go through, read this whole chapter. It's like 35 verses. And by the end there, it says that wisdom that is a woman, okay, it's going to be a tongue twister for me, was said to be there with God at the creation. And so biblical wisdom is as old as the creation itself. So if you take a look at Scripture as a whole, in the total picture of Scripture, from beginning to end, we see that God speaks through the voice and the witness of women. Women are never relegated to be second-class citizens in God's economy. Women are called and gifted to preach and to teach and to lead in the kingdom of God. Perhaps nowhere more powerfully do we see that than at the resurrection of Jesus. The first ones on the scene were women, and they're told, "Hey, go and tell people that he's not here. He is risen." Right? The shortest sermon ever, "He is risen." So the women were the first preachers to go out into the world and proclaim that Christ is not dead. He is risen. Women have a vital role in the kingdom of God as co-laborers, co-creators, and co-heirs in the kingdom. It is not men one and women two. It's not even 1A, 1B. It is 1A and 1A when it comes to calling and giftedness in the kingdom of God. As the Holy Spirit fills the believers, some are given gifts of preaching and teaching and prayer and hospitality and so on. And you see that all throughout the Scripture. And so Proverbs 8 is one of those powerful examples of the female voice being lifted up. That God's character is wisdom, wisdom is who he is, and here we see wisdom personified in the female form. So I'm going to call her Wonder Wisdom, okay? We had Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman is a great superhero, no offense to Wonder Woman, but Wonder Wisdom is much better, right? Wonder Wisdom is much, much better. And so two things we get to see from the call of Wonder Wisdom as we look into James in a moment here. First is this, that wisdom is available to anyone. Wisdom is available to anyone. At the highest point along the way, this is where the wisdom speaking, where the paths meet, she takes her stand beside the gate leading into the city. At the entrance, she cries aloud, "To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind." Wonder wisdom, she stands there and says, wisdom is available to everybody, young and old, rich and poor, doesn't matter. Wisdom says, I am available. Come and learn the ways of God. Wisdom in many ways is like the gospel. All ages come to Christ, rich and old, male and female, different ethnicities, and the gospel is good news for all the world. The gospel is not about setting barriers to keep people out. The gospel is good news that Christ died for all, and the kingdom needs you. And wisdom is that same thing. It's available to all people. All who want wisdom can come and learn. Kids, teens, even you. At whatever age you are, you can gain wisdom and knowledge and understanding. It is not meant only for the old or only for the learned or only for whatever. It is available to all. We'll see that in a moment with James. Second thing we say, wisdom is about action. Wisdom involves our actions. Wisdom is not just a mental assent to knowledge. There's a great theme you can see in a lot of superhero movies or action movies where the main character, the good guys, something happens to that person and they have to go and search out for wisdom. What comes to mind for me is like the first Batman Begins, I think it was called, right? The first of the newer series. He goes up into the mountain and he's got to find this guru and he goes up there and he's trying to find wisdom. Where do I learn? How do I learn about life? How do I learn about myself? And it's all about me. I got to go do this myself. I got to find this out. I don't need your help. It's about me trying to figure this out. But that's not wisdom. That's not how biblical wisdom works. That's not how Scripture talks about wisdom. We're not created to be alone. We're created to be together and to find wisdom together and to find wisdom in how we live, in our actions. To acquire wisdom requires action and transformation about how we live a wise life. It's not someone sitting in a corner and throwing ideas at you. There's a way to wisdom, living a righteous life that honors God, the path of wisdom. So, woman wisdom, wonder wisdom, she stands there, she's for everyone, wisdom is for all. Wisdom is about how you live your life, and let's see what James has to say. Let's look, we're going to look at James chapter 3. Verses 13 through 18, as we turn toward the New Testament, we'll start at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Wisdom is achievable. Wisdom is doable. Wisdom is not a far-off thing that cannot ever be reached until we are old and full of days, and then maybe we can acquire. Wisdom is done by action, we see James say here. You call yourself wise, let me see your life. Are you making the right choices at the right time, James says? Are you living a life that reflects a transformed way of being? That is wise living. And he says right here, part of wisdom is humility. Part of learned wisdom comes with is humility. That's one of the signs we can look for. Is someone wise or not wise? Are they humble? Are they humble in how they approach you and how they approach life? Wisdom is a transformation in us. It's not knowledge that just puffs up, but it creates in us a humility that draws us to love of others, understanding God's love for us and what that looks like and what that means. Someone can claim to be wise, but if they lack humility, we can reject the notion that they are wise. I think that's what James is saying here. That humility comes from wisdom. And if we're saying, hey, look at this wise person, but they lack humility, then we can say, well, they're not so wise. And if humility is a sign, then, hey, like I said, a 15-year-old, a 14-year-old, a 13-year-old can have wisdom. And a 70-year-old can have wisdom. Age is not a boundary of wisdom. Wisdom is a life well lived with God. Wonder wisdom calls from the public square. Wisdom is for everyone. No one is too far away to achieve wisdom. So a little story. Some of you know part of my story, but when I was a kid in kindergarten, I met a friend in school, and that day he became my best friend, and he's been my best friend up until now, believe it or not, so 30-some-odd years. He invited me to VBS for the first time. I never went to church, but I went to VBS and went to that since kindergarten on. Then I went to youth group, and I came to know Christ in youth group, and then started going to church, and now here I am many years later. So this friend, he grew up in a Christian home. He had a great Christian family, extended family even. And he always shared these wonderful quotes from his grandfather. His grandfather and his grandmother, full of wisdom, had great quotes about what it meant to live your life. And one of them was very memorable. I still remember it to this day, and I'm going to share it with you now because it ties into living a wise life. And this is the quote. It's a bit of a tongue twister, but it goes like this. Your talk talks and your walk walks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Digest that for a second, okay? Your talk talks and your walk walks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Okay? You can say a lot of things, but how you live your life is going to speak louder than anything that you say. How you live your life in wisdom or lack of wisdom is going to speak a lot louder than your talk talks. The wisdom that James is talking about is a wisdom like this that walks the talk in every aspect of one's life. That doesn't mean perfection. That doesn't mean we're never going to mess up. That doesn't mean everything has to be perfect all the time. Absolutely not. That's where humility comes in, to know that we cannot actually achieve that perfection in our own power. But there's a humility that comes in there. But your talk talks and your walk walks and your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Fun to say, too, if you get it down. So James says, all right, you say you're wise. Let's see your walk. Are you walking with the Lord? Do you trust Him in all moments? Do you lean on Him? Are you humbly submitted to Him? Do you lay all things at His feet, knowing that you are imperfect, but you serve a perfect God who walks with you in all things? So then he goes on, verse 14. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. The it in this passage where it says, do not boast about it, is wisdom. Right? So don't boast about having wisdom when you have bitter envy and selfish ambition as the way that you interact with others. That's not wisdom. And I like how the NIV puts it in quotes there, wisdom, right? That's not real wisdom. That's not a heavenly wisdom. One commentator said, that's actually a hellish wisdom. That's a wisdom not associated with the things of God, boasting and bitterness. So I'm a visual person. I like charts, not charts with numbers, but charts with words, okay? So let me give us a chart. Maybe that'll help us this morning. James is going to tell us about what true wisdom looks like and what false wisdom looks like. And then we can compare the two for a moment. We'll start with false wisdom because that's where James starts. And James says here that there's a type of wisdom that sounds good to our ears, that may sound appealing, that's like, oh, that must be wisdom, but it is actually false wisdom. And we can tell, as with many things, by the fruit of that life, the fruit that comes from that individual. So false wisdom produces bitter envy and selfish ambition. Proverbs 14:12, there is a road that seems wise to man, but the road leads to death. That's false wisdom. It brings about death, envy, ambition, selfish ambition's okay, selfish ambition. Right? Only about my glory and what can I get out of this and what can I do out of this. That is a false wisdom. Wisdom that is gained to help others, encourage others, lead others, that is a true wisdom. We'll talk about that in a moment. Second, he says false wisdom is earthly, it's unspiritual, it's demonic. That doesn't mean that demons inhabit every bad decision you make. That's not what he's saying. He's saying there's a wisdom that produces envy and selfishness that's not thinking about God. It's thinking about my own desires, my own comfort. And that selfish ambition is the way of the demonic, but selfless sacrifice is the way of Christ. Selfish ambition is the way of the demonic, but selfless sacrifice is the way of Christ. And it appears here that James says, hey, there's not really any middle ground. There's not so-so wisdom. There's true wisdom or false wisdom. Which are you building on? today. This is what Jesus is talking about. You know that passage, I think it's in Matthew, where Jesus says, hey, I'm going to go die, right? I'm about to be killed. I'm going to be arrested. And what does Peter say? No, we're not going to do that. No, that's not happening on my watch. And what does Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan, right? He's not calling him Satan. He's saying, you have earthly, unspiritual, demonic things in mind. You're not thinking with true wisdom. You're not thinking with heavenly wisdom. You're thinking about your own comforts. Your human-centered thinking, Peter, is not what this is about. There's another way to think, a true way of wisdom. And so where does all of this lead? Well, here's what James says. To disorder and to every evil practice. I mean, that makes sense. If we're only thinking about ourselves, if we're earthly, if we're unspiritual, if we're not concerned with others, where is that going to lead? It's going to lead to disorder. It's going to lead to evil practices. So why am I harping on this so much? What am I getting at here? Well, as human beings, we have a tendency to hear what we want to hear. We want to hear what we like. It's called confirmation bias, right? I have a belief about something, and I'm going to find someone that says what I think, and they'll agree with me, and boom, we're all set. Now I got an expert that says what I think. But here we say, hold on, what kind of fruit is that life producing? That wisdom that you're listening to, is it producing disorder? Does it produce evil practices? Is it creating a bitterness between you and others? Is it creating envy and selfish ambition in your life? If so, you got to cast that out because that's not true wisdom. That's false wisdom. Is that person more concerned with puffing up their own title? Are they trying to sell you something while they're talking to you? Right? We would do well to ask questions like that of our politicians, of our pastors even. Right? You got to hold me accountable, please. Of public figures. And consider what kind of wisdom that we're hearing. One that builds up or one that creates these things, disorder and evil practices. But James says there's a better wisdom, verse 17. The wisdom that comes from heaven is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. I'm just going to throw those all on the table. You can see them there. Pure, same word used for God. Right, that is true wisdom, a pure wisdom of God. Peace-loving, seeking out peace in relationships, trying to bring shalom, repairing relationships that are broken, seeking to find common ground together, considerate of others and their needs. That is true wisdom. Submissive, submitting to one another's needs out of a desire and love for each other, choosing to be submissive, right? Full of mercy, showing mercy to those around me without judgment. Bearing good fruit. There's fruit again. It's always about fruit. Impartial, not showing favoritism to others, but helping others equally. And sincerity. Right? Honesty and truthfulness should be the sign of wisdom. Honesty and truthfulness should be the signs of the people in the kingdom of God, not lies and deceit. If you look at these two lists, something might stick out to you. If you look at false wisdom on the right, all these characteristics are about yourself, right? False wisdom does nothing but build up the self. But true wisdom is concerned about building up the community. True wisdom loves in a way and cares in a way and submits in a way to build up the community. That's a good place to draw the line. Is this building up myself and my glory? Is this building up the community? True wisdom considers the needs of the whole as greater than the needs of the individual and seeks to live out that way. This past Tuesday, an anniversary came and went. You may have missed it. You may not have known about it. It was the 32nd anniversary of the signing of the ADA Act, the American with Disabilities Act. Anybody know that? Okay, you'll be forgiven if you didn't, right? I didn't know about it either. The only way I knew about it is because I have some friends who are pastors who wrote about it, and I kind of fell into a rabbit hole and started reading about it. The Act did a lot of things, but at its most basic, it allowed access to previously inaccessible spaces for persons with disabilities. So that we have wheelchair ramps and power doors and all these other wonderful aids as part of the ADA Act. Wonderful. When it went into effect 32 years ago, there was one entity, one group that said, we want an exemption from having to follow these guidelines. because it's too cost prohibitive and it interferes with our freedom. Anyone guess who that was? The church. Yeah, come on. The church. It's too cost prohibitive for us to make a way for anyone to encounter the living God in worship. Yeah. Sometimes as the church, we must repent because we've lost the plot of who we're supposed to be. Sometimes we sell out wisdom at the price of freedom. And that's just one simple example of that. We should have been leading the way on that, right? We should have been saying, no, we want everyone to come. We want everyone to come and know the Lord. We want everyone in this place. We're going to make a way as Christ made a way for everyone. True wisdom considers the needs of the whole as greater than the individual. 1 John 2:10, anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. Man, if we live in the light, we do not put stumbling blocks before our brothers and sisters. We bring the high places low and the low places high. We make a way for all to hear the good news of Jesus. True wisdom builds up the community, considers the needs of others first, seeks the glory of the kingdom first. Which leads us to our last verse, verse 18. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. James 3:18. One commentator had this to say, I love this. A church that is rich in peacemaking activities, that is evangelism, the defense of the poor, counseling the troubled, offering hospitality to the stranger, providing shelter for the battered, caring for the neglected, and many more, certainly reaps a rich harvest of righteousness. Wherever the church of Christ is doing these things, the kingdom of God is in evidence. Wherever the church of Christ is actively at work making peace, the kingdom of God is there. God's kingdom is on earth as it is in heaven when we act and engage in peacemaking. And as the church, we are called to be peacemakers. I'm going to leave it on that actually for a second. We're called to be peacemakers. When we practice peacemaking, we practice wisdom. Peacemaking is making things right in this world, actively working to make things right. We preach to the soul and we say, hey, Jesus can break your chains. He came to die for you. And we preach to the body and we say, let me give you this cold cup of water to care for you in this moment. We don't divorce those two things as followers of Christ. We speak to both. To live as Christ is to feed the hungry, to care for the stranger, and to care for the sick. And to live as Christ is to preach the good news of a Savior who's come to break the shackles of death and to give us eternal life. Both those things are true. Both those things we must hold on to. So, briefly as we close, how do we become peacemakers in 2022 in our community, in our country, in our world? How do we do that? Two words come to mind for me. Two words when I think about peacemaking. The first word is truth. The first word is truth. There is misinformation, disinformation, confirmation bias, all these things. And as peacemakers, we have to be the people who speak truth. Truth to each other and truth to the world. If we say we follow Jesus, the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, we would be good to find truth, weed out lies, and be about rightness and truthfulness. We cannot contribute to the disorder and evil practices and say that we are wise followers of Christ. And the second word that comes to mind for me is hope. Being a people of hope. We live in a culture right now where fear has become a commodity that is being sold and used and leveraged for the sake of power, for the sake of audience, for the sake of whatever. I was telling Scott this morning, I was talking to him, I says, I probably spend a little too much time on social media, admittedly, so I try to wean myself off of that as best I can. But you go to social media, you talk to people, you can palpably see the fear on people's faces. Fear about what's next, fear about what is happening, what isn't happening, what's going to happen. The early church, right after the time of Jesus, one of the characteristics they became known for was hope. They were a people of hope. They were facing oppression from Roman rulers, and they said, we have a greater hope than this world, and we want to tell you about it. We want to point you to it. We want to be sure that you know that all this is wasting away, but we have a greater glory that is coming, a hope. To be peacemakers, we must live as wise people. We must continually point people to beyond what is wasting away and keep sight of what is being renewed day by day. Certainly, there are troubles in this world. I'm not trying to diminish any of that. I'm not trying to hide it behind a curtain and say, don't look at any of that. But man, if we don't have hope, then what did Jesus die for? We don't have a message of hope in this world if we're not talking to people about, hey, here comes Christ, here he came for you. So yes, things might look gloomy at the moment, but man, let me tell you about a better way to live, a better way to be in this world. Truth and hope, the way of peace, and the way of wisdom. Is it simplistic? Maybe. Maybe I'm just too simplistic in this. Maybe I'm hopeful that Christ continues to reign, that Christ will still be on the throne, that Christ is still on the throne. And in the midst of everything going on, we can hold on to that hope of Christ in this world as wise people. So here's our memory verse. I'm going to take it from the NLT today. I like the NLT. Those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. We live in Indiana. We know what it means to plant seeds, right? Plant seeds of peace and we'll reap a harvest of righteousness. To live as wise people, may we plant seeds of peace, seeds of truth, seeds of hope, seeds of encouragement, seeds of truthfulness of Christ's rule and reign. May we live that out as wise peacemakers in this world. Let me pray.